Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, we let him sleep in a little bit because it was a late trade. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy at Wanaka Country Club right now for the 100 holes. If you'd like to donate, search 100 holes, and then there's a search bar right there for Jeremy's page if you want to donate to his individually. Paul, was that the late trade? It's not uncommon. It's happened in the league, right, where you get a trade at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
I've had it happen, yes. And where were you? I was trying to call you at 1 o'clock in the morning saying, all right, what time am I on?
I do not have my ringer on at 1 o'clock. Sal does. Sal woke up to it.
You could have called me. I would have woke up. Sal, I would have been mad at you for calling me, but I would have woke up.
Oh, I knew I'd be hearing from you folks before when I went to bed. I go, yep, they'll be calling. Although, this time I was up by now since it's 9 o'clock.
When
Reinhardt, and it wasn't even announced then. We were down at the arena. That was 1 a.m. when we knew Reinhardt had been traded, but we didn't get the official word until the next day. Mm-hmm. When Danny Briere became a Buffalo Sabre, I got a call from the Sabres at 12:45, which was the same time they announced this trade on Twitter. So I had gotten at the same time a 12:45 call. I believe Briere played for the Coyotes that night. And that's one of the reasons why they waited on it. So it's not the first time I've gotten notification like that, but it certainly does not happen very often.
I remember being on the air that night for it was the NHL draft, right?
Yeah.
For draft coverage when Reinhardt gets traded, and thinking why, because there was a long period of time between when it was reported and when it was announced. And we were, I mean, you know how it is, Paul. Like, you're in day two of draft coverage. And you only know so much about the prospects. So instead, we went off on a scavenger hunt to figure out why the trade wasn't announced. And we were looking up, like, Finnish players from Florida that might not be awake yet. Like, oh, they haven't announced it because this guy's still asleep in Finland. I think Lundell was actually the player that might have ended up being pretty nice. But
speaking
anyways.
Of NHL draft coverage, we will have all that for you starting Friday night. 7 p.m., Brian Colzio and Brayton Wilson will anchor our coverage. Paul will obviously be on site down at One Bills Drive. We'll have Zach Jones anchoring coverage from back here as well, with making sure that you have any news, breaking news, things like that that's going on digital and social. Zach, Paul, Evan DePasquale, everybody on hand here at WGR. All right, Paul, you've said many times, hey, listen, it's not scoring, it's defense. This team needs... they have to be better there. They got what we think is a guy that's going to help on the blue line, but they did it by giving up a top six forward who's a goal scorer, a 23-year-old, and we know everything that's been surrounding J.J. Paterka. So how do you evaluate this trade?
Well, I think the basic problem is here, and it's still a problem here, is that the Sabres are still in this position 6 years into a regime that players want out. And then they are forced to trade players. You're not really in a position of great power when you're forced to trade somebody. And it just keeps happening and keeps happening that players want out. And that, to me, is the problem. That we're still – the Buffalo Sabres are still in a position where players want out. And then they're forced to trade them. I think Kesserling is a good defenseman, and I saw every game he played for Team USA that won the gold medal, teammates with Tage Thompson. I thought he was excellent in that tournament. He is what they need. He's big. He's strong. He's not afraid to get mix it up. I don't think he needs a team meeting to tell him to arrive when one of his players gets laid out. You know, I think he, and what I, as I learned more about him and read more about him last, and, you know, I've seen him play also, he was developed the right way. He's 23 years old. He has spent time in the American Hockey League to get his development, and now is starting at 23 years old to become a good NHL defenseman. Of course, a right-handed shooting defenseman. And remember when Rasmus Ristolainen was traded, and I was floored that the Sabres got a number one pick out of it. And it was simply because right-handed defensemen in the NHL are hugely valued, hugely overvalued, you might say, in Rasmus Ristolainen's case. And teams covet them. It's something the Sabres need. This fills a need that the Sabres have. Doan, I basically envision him riding shotgun with Beck Malenstein. You now have two holes, in my opinion, in your top six forwards. I thought you had one anyway because I just don't think Zach Benson should be in the top six. He doesn't produce as a top six. And I thought you needed one there. Now you need a second one. But I think you've also filled a hole on your defense because I think Kesserling is to a point now in his career where he can play in your top four for, and be a right-handed shot defenseman and maybe be that guy that can grow up with Owen Power and help him. I don't object to them getting Kesserling, but, you know, where the real problem is, it's not, well, they got a horrible return if that's how people feel about it. It's that they're even having to trade a player like Paterka at all, that a young player like that already wants out to go with Eichel, to go with Reinhardt, to go with, you know, the list goes on and on. You know, all these people that want out. And you shouldn't be 6 years into trying to rebuild a team and having guys still like, I want out of here.
Paul, you mentioned a couple of times there, talking like the Sabres had to trade Paterka. Do you feel like they, because listening to like Friedman a couple of times in the last week has been saying the Sabres do not want to trade Paterka, but they're listening, and if it would take an offer that, I forgot the exact wording he used. I keep using blow your socks off. I don't think it was that strong, but basically the Sabres, they won't do it unless there is an offer that really forces them to. Does that feel like what happened here to you? Do you feel like they traded Paterka because they felt like they just had to move him? Or do you think these two players for Kesserling, that's why I got to do it?
I think they like Kesserling. I think they should like Kesserling. But I don't think it's like, oh, wait a minute, that's the trade right there. I think it got to a point of no return. I think they wanted to keep him. I think they were holding out hope that he would change his mind or his agent would change his mind and that they could convince him that this is the place to be. But it sometimes gets to a point where you're like, well, it's not happening. He's not going to change his mind, and we're going to have to get rid of him. Do you want a pouting J.J. Paterka on your team all year long? I mean, because you didn't trade him this year, how much does that help? And let's be honest too. I've been reading, you know, people, some are disappointed the Sabres didn't get the fourth overall pick. Are you kidding me? They didn't get the fourth overall pick for Eichel or Reinhardt. J.J. Paterka is not getting you the fourth overall pick.
I think there's a sentiment that maybe people thought they could have swapped picks 4 and 9.
Yeah, maybe.
Trade up 5 picks.
Right.
Maybe, but you still have to remember that J.J. Paterka is not a complete player in the NHL. Mm-hmm. He's not just, well, he's not very good in his own end. He's horrendous in his own end, and numbers will bear that out. I mean, he does not have good numbers at all, and I've had folks tell me who are heavy into analytics that the Sabres are better off without him, with as bad as he is defensively.
But this is part of
it's hard to ignore 55 goals in 2 years, but you know when you're how many if you know you're not holding your weight at the other end. Now that, Sal, is also something he can fix.
Right.
If he wants to.
That's part of the
really
issue
wants
I have.
To work at it.
He's 23, Paul. Like, we've seen guys. What do we hear about Mitch Marner forever? And yet, he's getting Selke votes, right? Whether it's justified or not to some people, he is. We've heard this about. And look, I'm feeling better about this trade as the morning goes on. I'll be honest with you. I really am. I'm liking a lot of the things I'm hearing about Kesselring and what he can do. No doubt about it. But he's 23, he's an ascending player, and all these things that about not being good in his own end. Guy's mature. I'm watching Sam Bennett run around the ice with the cup, and I'm thinking, oh my God, this guy's been in the league 11 years. Look how long it took him to get to the player that everyone thought that maybe he could be someday.
Well, Sal, the Sabres, I obviously felt that way because they wanted to keep him.
Yeah. What do you think about the contract? Well, I'll ask you that. What do you think about the contract he signed? If you woke up this morning, if you got the alert that said the Sabres signed J.J. Paterka to 5 years, 7.7, Paul, what would have been your reaction?
I would have been fine with that. I was thinking low sevens maybe. So that it got into the high sevens would not have shocked me. He would be making more than Tage Thompson, but Tage Thompson signed a contract a couple of years ago, and values go up. You know, when you sign a contract, I mean, look at what Alex Tuch is making. Well, at the time, it probably didn't seem like, well, you're getting screwed here. But, you know, with the production that they've gotten from Alex Tuch, it's been a bargain for the last couple of years because contracts change as go up. So, no, I wouldn't have said that was ridiculous. I was kind of thinking that's about where it would land. Not quite there, but about where that would land. And goal scorers do get paid. I mean, Jeff Skinner got $9 million. Jeff Skinner never did figure out the defensive zone, you know, but he did score 40 goals 1 year. So if you're getting a guy who scores 40 goals, maybe you can forget about, the other part of it. So, no, you're absolutely right, and I think the Sabres agree with you also. That's why they wanted to keep him, they felt that he's going to be able to figure it out. But when you're looking at
Spectrum Business, keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What you got coming back, you got to talk about what is, not what could be, maybe. And what is right now is he is a liability in his own end. But you're right, that can change, and that's up to him. He can change it.
Yeah. As we figure out, too, Paul, like how this happened, you tell me like where I should land on this, because I like the 5 years, $7.7 million, I woke up this morning after seeing the trade and seeing the destination, wondering more if money was at all a part of the... Adam's talking the other day about how you can't make a guy happy just by paying him. So thinking about like, oh, I wonder, were the Sabres willing to go there? Was there a contract where Paterka would have said, okay, I'm in with the Sabres? Because, and again, the source of that for me is where he ended up going. He didn't go to a big market. He didn't go to L.A. He didn't go to New York. He didn't go to a perennial winner. He didn't go to Carolina. He didn't go to Tampa. He went to Salt Lake City in a group of players that's missed the playoffs 11 of 12 years. So, like, or is it just that it's that bad here that Utah is now, like, a much better destination than Buffalo is?
I think that's an accurate statement. But, you know, his agent, anytime you heard, or a lot of the time when you heard where he might land, it's all, you know, New York Rangers. Even the incorrect report at the trade deadline, New York Rangers, you know, and that to me is the agent feeding it, you know, that's, but the agent or anybody else, he has no trade protection. So Sabres could trade him wherever they wanted to trade him. And Utah is looking to improve in their goal scoring, and they're, you know, they have salary cap space that they can do it. So, you know, that's where it wound up as far as that went. So it didn't surprise me where it went. But again, you know, Utah wasn't a heavy rumored place for him to go. That's, again, why, you know me, I just don't, you know, like to pay a lot of attention to rumors. But, you know, it was, that's where he wound up. And
yeah,
Yeah, they were never on the rumor card.
That's
there.
What I mean. Like, all it's I'm trying to figure out is like, how did it end up being Utah for him? Like, what ended up being Paterka's real motivation when he didn't choose like one of the top like because again, the Sabres could have traded him wherever they wanted, but he didn't have to sign wherever he like he chose to be there for 5 years. So was it the money? Was it the city? Was it? You know, is it just that team
is Lindy Ruff?
Is it? Well, that's another good question. Is it coaching? Is it?
I just feel. I feel.
Is it anywhere? But it could have been. I'll just go anywhere. But here,
Lindy Ruff publicly talked about how you know Paterka's poor defensive play, and players. A lot of players don't like that to be publicly called out. And you know, and we had talked about this. I don't know. Within the last week, I think I had talked to you both about it. Is it possible that Paterka and his agent don't want to deal with the Sabres anymore because they're at an impasse in the contract negotiation? Is that the reason he wants to be traded? We don't know. Is it Lindy Ruff? Is it he doesn't believe in the organization? Is it the losing? We just don't know what his problem is, and we'll have to see at some point if he ever addresses it.
I have a bit of
you're right. I mean, it's certainly – right to speculate it's possible, but then my thought is, why were they trying so desperately to convince him that he wants to be a Sabre, knowing how much it was going to cost them to keep him?
Right.
I'm with Joe where it's like not a disagreement type with Joe, but I agree. Like when Joe's wondering, we hear all this stuff about big market, and then he gets moved to Utah. No, to me, it was money. This is money. Like, that's what I come down to. I think it's money. I don't think the Sabres wanted to pay him that kind of money. We all say we would have done it. And I have a theory, Paul. I have a theory here. Mm-hmm. This contract he signs very much screams like an offer sheet type of contract. I think the Sabres knew an offer sheet was coming. Maybe Utah told them, hey, we're going to give him an offer sheet. And the Sabres are like, well, guess what? We don't want to pay him that, but we don't want a first, second, and third round pick. So you know what? Let's just make a deal. And I think that this is what this feels like to me.
It doesn't to me just because I just think offer sheets don't happen all that often. And you know, first of all, you have to have your own picks. Like you have to have your own number one. You have to have your own number two. And you have to have your own number three, you know, to be able to make the, you know, that type of an offer. And I'm just checking right now. And Utah does not have, or do they?
The picks that needed for the
I'm looking right now
where the money
anyways. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Yeah,
they do?
I just feels to me like something like that. I mean, remember back in the day when the Bills put the franchise tag on Peerless Price, but they did it only because they knew, hey, we'll just instead of going through this process, we'll do that and then we'll make a deal with somebody, right? That happens. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it sounds to me, it feels to me like maybe, hey, they kind of knew this was coming. Maybe Utah made it known and said, like we've been saying, Paul, we don't want prospects back for the Sabres. I don't think that's what they want. They want to get better. Hey, you know what? Instead of having him go somewhere, we don't want to pay him the money, but we don't want the prospects. We don't want the picks. Let's make a deal here. You want him? Give us a couple players that we can use.
Yeah, but
there
you know,
is there's a difference though between a team telling you they're going to do it and then them actually doing it.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like,
correct.
It's a little bit of okay, you're going to offer sheet him. Well, I'll wait. Let's see if you actually offer sheet him.
That's right.
You could do that.
And Friedman saying you know that the Sabres definitely don't want to trade him and doing everything they can to try to make sure that that doesn't happen, you know, wouldn't say that the Sabres weren't willing to pay that. I don't know. And as I said, we've already speculated within the last week that is that the problem? Is there an impasse in what we're talking about that, you know, they decided that, well, you know, we have to trade him because there's not – or that – I'm sorry, the Paterkas decided that, well, he needs to be traded because, you know, it's just not going to happen. By the way, Utah does not have their own first-round pick.
Okay.
So they could not offer sheet him.
I guess there goes my theory.
Because the Bruins would have been – it would have been if you invert the standing, it's San Jose, Chicago, Nashville, Boston, and Utah has the fourth pick.
Okay.
That's not their pick.
Paul, does now that – Paterka is traded, and you mentioned earlier, and we actually talked about this the other day, that now it feels like there are two holes in the Sabres' top six. Do you feel like whatever they trade Bo Byram for, assuming they do make that deal eventually, it's more imperative now than it was before that like they got to get a forward back in that deal?
Yeah. I mean, we already thought that they needed a top six forward. Zach Benson, I like his game. It's not that I don't like his game and the way he plays, but if you're in the top six, you have to produce. And right now at his age and, you know, the way his body is right now, he doesn't produce. You need guys in the top six that produce. So to me, you already had a hole there, and now you've got a second hole there. You have filled the hole maybe you were looking for on defense. But, you know, now you need a couple of top six forwards. In my mind, you need two. You need more than one. So you have other assets. I mean, you could maybe take your ninth pick and with a couple of prospects or whatever, you can get one that way.
Mm-hmm.
You can maybe get one in the Byram trade. So there are other ways they can go about to get what they need there. They felt like they got what they needed on defense, right? I mean, he's exactly what they've been talking about that they want. You know, a right-handed shooting defenseman who's big, who's strong, who brings something to the table nobody else on that defense brings. And that's, you know, what they got there. So, all right, you've filled that, but you've left a hole here. So, I mean, now you've got to go fill that hole because – you know, if you're going to make the playoffs, you can't have all these holes that you have. And so that's, I think, what they're still going to have to do. And, of course, free agency could maybe, you know, come into that picture too. But then you run into what you ran into here. Well, the Sabres keep losing, and they keep losing badly. And here we are again where the Buffalo Sabres have to, you know,
trade one of their best players to a team that didn't exist like 5 years ago.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. I said Utah doesn't have their pick. Yes, they do. They won the lottery.
Oh, the lottery.
And by the way,
I'm such
an idiot that it just hit me. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We're sitting here talking off the cuff and
I also want to make things up.
Careful,
I also want to make a point.
Josh is smiling for potential open use in the future.
I also want to make a point here of the offer sheet thing. If you do sign a player to an offer sheet, the picks wouldn't come until the following year. You can't because it's after the draft, right? July 1st would be your offer sheet season, right? So it's not this year's pick
anyway. Yeah, you have to have your first round pick next year.
And by the way, Utah does have that, and they do have their first, second, and third for the next several years. So they could. That's independent. It doesn't matter. Anyway, just a theory I had, but go ahead.
All right.
Yeah, I just wanted to correct that.
You got it.
All right. Draft tomorrow. We haven't really talked about the draft much at all, Paul, but there's been things that have caused us to, you know, push that off to tomorrow. So we'll talk about the draft tomorrow. So thanks for being on, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Well, maybe we can talk about a trade tomorrow, too.
Or there'll be a trade tomorrow we'll talk about.
I love that.
Yeah.
There you
Thanks,
go.
Paul.
Yep.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Highline. Speaking of the draft, we have time for your phone calls, but we'll have a few minutes coming back to talk with Stephen Ellis from Daily Faceoff to get a quick scoop on kind of the draft early on tomorrow and also what the Sabres are looking at number 9. So that plus your phone call. So if you hang on hold, we'll get to you coming up in the next segment. Stay tuned. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.